Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hello, hello, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we are on episode 189 of the Slow Living Podcast. And we did it. We made it. I am recording this in May, and I'm just so happy that you're here. We are definitely in the middle of 2025. And I think a lot of us started this year kind of holding our breath, not knowing how the year would unfold. And now we're here. Now we're in the middle of all of the things. And if you think you've been holding your breath in some way or waiting for a permission slip to start doing the things that you thought you would do in 2025. You wanted to see what the economy looked like. You wanted to see what the world might look like or feel like. We just lost a pope. Sometimes some people think, okay, well, that means I need to put my life on hold or on pause while I collect myself. Let out the breath that you've been holding. Just let it out. Relax your shoulders, relax your neck, maybe move your neck around a little bit. If you have tension in there, pay attention to it. Today is a great big huge permission slip. And the permission slip is to do it badly. I want you to do things badly, especially if you might be a kind of type A person or a perfectionist type person. And even if you don't think you are that, look around. Are you doing the things in life that you want to do, or are you holding yourself back? A big part of slowing down isn't succumbing to hustle culture and not doing things because someone outside of you, some external pressure, maybe it's your parents, society, former teachers, loved ones, a spouse, your kids, sort of putting you in a role that you haven't decided on purpose to do. And slow living is about simply looking only within and deciding on purpose and with an intention what your day, your week, your month, your year looks like. So then you know you are making these decisions in a thoughtful and sustainable way instead of just kind of going with the flow forever and ever and ever and realizing, oh my gosh, I've been flowing down the wrong river this whole time. And I wish I had taken a stop. Well, in the old Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny would say, oh, I knew I should have turned left in Albuquerque. Your life is a whole bunch of tiny little micro decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis. And if you don't decide on purpose to do them, life will just decide for you. And all of a sudden, you're living a life that you don't even recognize. Maybe you look in the mirror and you don't even recognize yourself because of a whole bunch of tiny little micro decisions you've made along the way. And okay, if that's you and you're not happy with the here and the now, this is a wake-up call to start making changes, to start doing things differently. You're not in trouble. Nobody's mad. You are the grown-up in the room. and you do get to decide. But today, we're going to be a little playful because I want you to decide to just get started and do the things that you know deep down inside you should be doing or you want to be doing, and do them badly. So I've got some notes here. Let me find it. Okay. So it came about because I do like Reddit. I'm not on much social media. You can find me on Instagram, and if you DM me, I will write you back and that kind of thing. And I do have a Slow Down Society Facebook group. But in general, I don't actually like social media or use social media as a quote-unquote normal person, because it's just not good for my brain. I fall into rabbit holes. It's kind of a bit of a time suck or a time waster. So the posting that I do on Facebook and Instagram is for work. It's for business. It's not personal in any way. I do not have a personal Facebook or Instagram account. That's just something that I've always done. And I've always sort of had a separation between online work and who I am as a human. That said, I do enjoy goofing off and reading message boards and researching and over-researching. And so I do like Reddit. But I came across a Reddit post recently, and it just kind of stopped me in my tracks because it was honest, it was heartfelt, and most importantly, it was freeing. So I'm going to paraphrase it a bit for you, but this was the gist of the Reddit post. It said, "My birthed kids have been grown for a while, and I was sitting here being proud of them when all of a sudden I realized I helped them. You see, I am very bad at most everything. I sew things that fit badly. I build things that don't work. I make sculptures that look like blobs. I draw pictures that look like I had some kind of seizure partway through." You get the idea. "The whole time I was raising my kids, we did things badly together because I couldn't teach them how to do things well. And at times I was ashamed of this. Sometimes I was too busy trying to figure out how to assemble the build your own car for ages 6 to 8 to worry about how they were working on the kit for ages 7, 12 and up. And guess what? My kids grew up to do things pretty well. My son is downstairs working on an acoustic music studio he built himself. My daughter is an aeronautical engineer and has a flower garden. So it occurred to me after all these years, it didn't matter how well I did things. It just mattered that we did them. So if you have kids and you think playing the piano is cool, get a piano, plunk around on it." So blah, blah, blah. I'm going to paraphrase. So moral of the story, please go have fun, do things, do them badly. If you have kids, do fun things with them. If you don't have kids, do fun things regardless of what age they're supposed to be for. So I started thinking about that and how I don't necessarily like rules and I hate being told what to do. Oh, Adam's constantly going, "Yes, Steph, we know. We know you hate being told what to do." But if something on a box, and I vividly remember this on a box of Legos or a craft supply said like ages 12 and up, and I was younger, I ignored that direction and just dove in and just tried. And as I grew, and chances are as you grew, two, you started putting parameters on yourself. You started fact-checking and second-guessing who you are and what your natural abilities were, and then decided, "Oh, I'm not good at that, so I'm just not going to try," or "That's not really in my DNA." And in this last episode, we had talked about the princess problem, and I am not recovered from this yet. I still definitely have a bit of a princess problem with the idea that even just last night at REI, my husband and my youngest are getting ready to go on a backpacking trip. And so they're getting outfitted with proper ergonomic backpacks. And I was learning all of this stuff. The guy who was helping us just couldn't have been more knowledgeable. He was totally geeking out. It was really fascinating for me to overhear and listen that I am not going on this backpacking trip, yet I now know an awful lot on how to pick out a proper ergonomic backpack. And it was fascinating to learn. And so Adam and my youngest are going to go backpacking, and we've now learned that where they're going, there might actually be snow on the ground. And so I'm listening to this and I have two opposing thoughts. One is, oh my God, I would never do this. This is not something I would ever do, ever. And then the other thought I had was, but you know what, Steph? If you had to, you could. Like you're not that much of a princess. You would be able to figure it out and tough it out for a night or two. It would be just fine. And that's true. We've done lots of things as a family that weren't my idea. And I did it anyway. And lived, not only lived to tell the tale, but look back now with really fond memories. And so when you think about how many different invitations you may have turned down in life by friends, coworkers, family, because it seemed like a lot of work. It seemed like something you might not be interested in, like, I don't really like art museums. So you said no. Well, we talked about acting as if also a few episodes ago. What if you were someone who liked art museums? What if you were someone who tried camping in the snow? Act as if and do it badly. Try. 'Cause it's not fun to look back on your life and realize you didn't really collect all that many memories. You didn't really collect all that many experiences or adventures. And slow living is an awful lot of talking about things that we shouldn't do. We shouldn't succumb to hustle culture. We shouldn't collect things and clutter our house and keep things that are no longer serving us. But we can collect memories, and we can collect experiences that make you feel good and proud of yourself, that you persevered and you went through. And so when you do something badly, it does mean that you probably have to let go of ego, and you need to realize that it's not going to look the best. The cake is probably not going to look like the website or the cookbook. A home improvement project is probably not going to look like Pinterest or the YouTube video. And that's okay, depending on what it is. I don't think you should probably learn how to rewire your house all on your own and have that idea that I'll do it badly. So be careful and be thoughtful. But gardening, you can absolutely learn how to grow a vegetable garden if you want to. You don't have to be dismissive and say, I kill everything I touch. Okay, so maybe that was you of a few years ago. But maybe now you don't have little kids that you're worried about and you have more time to tend to things. Give it a try. Let go of that ego. I want you to choose action over paralysis. And it doesn't have to be go, go, go action. But if it gets you up off the couch and trying to do new things, do it. Often I'm on a coaching call with someone and they're talking about how they wish they could learn how to be a runner, because a sister-in-law or a friend in the family or a neighbor runs every day. And they have the idea that it would be great for their mental and their physical health, but they're not a runner. And they've just decided to label themselves as not a runner. And part of my job as a coach is to kind of poke at things to see if these absolutes are true. You can download the Couch to 5K app. You can do these things. If you start listening to the Couch to 5K app, you're running for 1 minute at a time and then walking for 2 minutes the first time you're doing it. It's literally designed to get you up off of the couch. And then at the end of the trial, you're able to run a 5K. So a 5K is 3.2 miles. If you are a fit, grown-up, healthy adult, I would like that to be a goal for you. I would like for you on any given Sunday, ooh, isn't that a movie? Any given Sunday to decide to hop out of bed and know that you can run that. And I think that's a fantastic marker of health that you can shoot for, even if you've quote unquote never been a runner in your life. The first time you go for a run, you're going to do it badly. You're not going to look great. Who cares? Put your earbuds in and keep your eyes on your own paper and worry about you. Don't worry about anybody else, and go out for that run. I want you to allow learning and experimenting and joy, just joy, to be in your body when you're trying things, with the idea that who cares? Who cares what it looks like? You're going to do it badly. Because when we do things badly with our kids and our partners, our friends, we're building these memories and we're creating connection and we're showing up authentically with our full, flawed human selves. So let's talk about the myth of getting it right. So I grew up with kind of this sort of thought, and it was probably told to me, that if you're going to do something, you might as well do it right. And probably that saying was told to me by parents and instructors and teachers and maybe former employers, that if you're going to take the time to do something, you might as well do it right. It probably helps promote work ethic in some ways. Since I happen to be a bit of a type A overdrive person, doing it right or not at all actually held me back. And so if that's you, only you know how you tick, just kind of think about it. Because the idea that if you're only going to do something, you need to do it right, or you shouldn't be doing it at all, that's a lie. That's a myth. It's the same myth that makes people never pick up a paintbrush or take a cooking class or sing out loud or start writing a book or dance free at weddings. And it's really damaging. And really think about it. Like, this is it. If you are so self-conscious right now that you're not comfortable dancing at a wedding that is filled with joy, take a look at yourself. Because it teaches you and it teaches your children who are watching you to associate your self-worth with performance and what things look like. And that's just not how life works. You don't have to earn hobbies and you don't have to be good to enjoy something. And sometimes we just need to let go of the idea that being excellent is the number one goal, and instead just exist in the moment. And if this is you and this is kind of a gut check, please know that you're not alone. I mean, we live in hustle culture. We live where a 4.0 GPA isn't enough to get into college. Like, that's ridiculous. So start shifting those things, at least in your own life and in your own family. Okay, so model joy and curiosity. Your kids are watching. So that adage, monkey say, monkey do, or monkey do, I don't know, monkey say, I don't know, whatever it is, your kids are absolutely watching. I have a pretty put together house. I like being able to know where everything is. We follow that daily seven for a highly successful household that I write about in Simple Shortcuts to, well, I teach in the Simple Shortcuts to Peace course. I write about it in the Totally Together journal and in the Clean Less, Play More Housekeeping for Normal People book. And then I also touch upon it in the new Slow Living book. But those daily seven, those seven chores, it keeps the house in such a state that at any time, people really can come over. I say that I like about a 30-minute heads up. And that's true. Really, we're down to probably a 10-minute tidy is all we would really need in order to have company over. Maybe the bathrooms are not pristine. Maybe there's some dust here and there, but it's not gross. It's not embarrassing, but it's not Pinterest perfect. The counters are clean. You can come into the kitchen, but there's probably random things here and there. There might be some dirty dishes scattered. If you give me that 10-minute heads up, I will put them away. But at any time, you can come in, but it's not perfect. The bathroom will have laundry in it. There will be waste baskets that should have been taken out that probably haven't. And that's okay. I've got great kids. They're competent kids. They're kind kids. But they make messes because that's what kids do. So if keeping things clean is more important than making memories, pay attention to that. We've got a member of the family who I remember visiting when I was young. And while you're eating, you might not even be done eating. The place setting was cleared and cleaned up and the countertop wiped off. Nobody wants to feel uncomfortable in their own home. So pay attention to that. There's OCD type A and then really, really over the top. And kids should be allowed to be free and messy and wild at times with parameters. And I absolutely have parameters. For instancing, glitter doesn't come into the house because we have hardwood floor and glitter gets into the floorboards and we have an older house. So the hardwood has gaps. So I learned that. When my oldest was in kindergarten, she would come home with a whole bunch of glitter and I'd be like, oh, okay. And after a few times and realizing I just can't get these purple sparkles out of the floorboards, the glitter stays on the porch. We take a few pictures, send it to grandma, send it to daddy, and then it goes in the recycle bin. And that's just how I happen to handle it. Does that mean that she can't do glitter? She can totally do glitter. Kids can do glitter. They can do it outside and it's cool. Okay. There are definitely people who are listening to this and maybe they don't have little kids in the house or you're not a parent and don't plan on being a parent. That's okay. This still applies. I still want you to do things. If you're an empty nester and you think you're too old to do things, try. Do it badly. I was on the phone with a woman the other day who found tap shoes that she had worn in high school. And she and her friends had done a tap routine in high school for the talent show. And she hadn't laced on the tap shoes in, what did she say? So she's 58. So I think she said it was 42 years, but her shoe size was relatively the same. So she put them on and went out in the garage on the concrete slab and tap danced and realized, wow, I really enjoy this. And so we talked and she's going to look into taking tap dance lessons and finding a place to get back into the what is it, shuffle ball heel or shuffle ball chain. And that's wonderful. That's fantastic. Who cares what you look like when you're tap dancing? It's really hard to not laugh and giggle and have joy in your body when you're tap dancing. So I just think that's amazing. So you start things. Start the book you've always wanted to start. And it doesn't need to be perfect. The best way to start writing a book is to open a Word document and just start typing. I did not know how to start a podcast until all of a sudden I needed to learn how to start a podcast. This is being recorded in Zoom. That's all it is. If you know how to work Zoom, you can record a podcast. I now have a podcast microphone. You can record it, however, just using the for free Apple headphones with a built-in microphone. It doesn't need to be fancy. Do it badly. You are allowed to play. You are allowed to try. You are allowed to be bad at something and still deeply, deeply enjoy it. So tying it in to slow living and tying it into the peace pyramid, the way the Slow Living book is laid out and then definitely Simple Shortcuts to Peace is laid out is we're following the peace pyramid and that bottom level is time management, health, and finances. For time management, if you're doing things badly, at times you get stuck in analysis paralysis and decision fatigue for so long, but if you just stood up and counted and said 3, 2, 1, go, and just got started, you would make so much progress. So stop overthinking and just start. With health, don't wait now. Start doing things. Joy is health and laughter is medicine. And when you play, your body heals. So do the things. Finances. Finances hold a lot of people back from doing the things in life that they want to do. Find a way to do things within your own budget. If you want to travel, figure out your budget and do things. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be splashy and Instagrammy. Some of our best memories as a family are camping in a state park, and our entertainment was throwing rocks in the river. You can do these things. Organization. Again, we talked about that earlier. It's A-okay if your house looks lived in. This is not Joanna Gaines. This is not Home and Garden TV. This is not IKEA. Just live, and I say IKEA, I probably meant Pottery Barn. Anyway, life is now, life is happening. And then relationships. If you think you don't have time to have friends, pay attention to that. I don't want you to live a life where you're not connecting with other humans and making shared experiences and shared memories. Before I log off, I want to give you a few past episodes. I always leave 3 to 5. And it's because often I repeat myself and I want to make sure that you've heard past things, because even if you've heard them before, when you listen again with fresh ears and with the fresh new you, humans are constantly evolving and changing, and the ideas and the thoughts, they sort of permeate into your subconscious and it reawakens new ideas in you. So that's why, I mention them. And also, we have tons of new people each week. And I want to make sure that you realize that the archives are pretty juicy and filled with lots of material. So episode 67, I recorded quite a while ago, and I called that the messy middle. And in it, I was talking about how often when I'm in the middle of a huge project, it's not fun. And I sort of have this idea that I wish I never started. But again, we're not princesses. And we can persevere. So 67, I talk about that. Episode 150, quarter and midlife crisis. This episode is getting downloaded quite a lot lately. I think people are feeling burnt out and overwhelmed. So if that's you, episode 150, quarter and midlife crisis and how to navigate that. 163, are you a perfectionist? That ties hand in hand in today's episode of Doing It Badly. 170, reinventing yourself. Whoever you are now doesn't mean this is who you're destined to be forever and ever and ever. You are the grown-up in the room. You get to decide the next course of your life and the next era of your life. And 175, bringing your vision to life. If you are daydreaming about things and you're stuck in that daydreaming part, this is your permission slip. Start doing the things. Start bringing your vision to life. And even if your vision is done badly, I'd rather you get started. Okay. So there's your reminders for this week. Do those things that you've always wanted to do. And it's A-okay to do them badly. Do them with love. Do it with laughter. Because if we're lucky, life is long. But boy, it sure flies by. And so that's why people say life is short, is because at times, the days are long, but those years are short, and I don't want you to miss out. Embrace all the things, do it badly, do them weirdly, and do them beautifully. Enjoy the ride. All right, pretty people, consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you're amazing and wonderful and lovely. I'll be back in your earbuds next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.